I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show. If you'd like to hear the podcast in its entirety, sign up at aftermath.media. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. It's Friday. We made it. I often wonder what that means. We made it to Friday. Yay. You know, and then what do? You have to do stuff at home, chores. I don't know. Maybe this time. I mean, both Ron and I are just, we're allergenic today. And so I think maybe what we're going to do is we're just basically take it easy this next weekend. Last weekend, though, we went out with the guys. We all went and saw Civil War. I talked about that last night. But as I was driving home from the movie on Sunday, my radio was turned to the affiliate station I appear on in Portland. It's 860 AM The Answer. Okay, so we appear on 860 AM The Answer, I believe, around 10 PM at night. And on the weekend, though, on the channel, they have classic radio programs on the air. Now, I'm a big fan of classic radio programs. I mean, I loved CBS Radio Theater when I was a kid. My mom and dad used to listen to, we used to listen to Ma and Pa Kettle. We used to listen to The Shadow. We used to listen to, Rod Serling did a show. It was always part of my DNA to use theater of the mind and to create this idea for a production bonanza, an opus, a magnum opus, right? And that's why we have all kinds of different whistles and bells on this program, because it's like it's the magnum opus effect. A lot of people don't understand that because talk radio doesn't do that. But, you know, we started this in the 90s, and now if you listen to a lot of talk shows, they have montages on their shows. But it's all because of my interest in old-time radio. And what sparked my interest was Orson Welles when he did the War of the Worlds back in the 1930s. But as I was in my car driving home, there was a Red Skelton, you know, Red Skelton Hour produced by Tide. Tide was the sponsor. And what was ironic about it was that it was Red Skelton and the Flying Saucer. That was the name of the show. And Skelton and his crew, they did their best to entertain a crowd of people with the tale of him and his friends running through the streets looking for what they think is a flying saucer. By the way, I'm related to Red Skelton, which is awesome. That's why I know about this program, because, you know, a lot of people who are younger probably don't even know who Red Skelton is. Red Skelton was a talented clown. He was a funny man on the radio. But one of the things I noticed as I was driving and listening to Red Skelton, I got the feeling that the laughs and the applause sounded canned. Now, I do know that they did performances in auditoriums and they had the radio all there and stuff, but yeah, I don't know if that was the case or there was a canned laugh track or applause track during the broadcast, because, I mean, like I said, an audience of that size, it sounded like it was a huge audience. So either it had to be in an auditorium or a stadium or something, or it came from a laugh machine or an applause machine. And much of this laughter that you hear in old shows, all that was taped from the early 1950s. It's taped from, you know, comedy get-togethers in the 50s. The Red Skelton Show often featured dialogue-free mime sketches, and so this means that in many American shows and sitcoms that don't have a studio audience, they use old laugh tracks. Some often, you know, were from the 1950s recordings, so most of those laughs are likely to belong to people who are now dead. Charles Douglas created the Laugh Box in 1950. It was a typewriter. And each key of the typewriter-esque machine was connected to a sound of a laugh. Either a group of laughs or one laugh or a woo-woo or something. All of them were taped, totaling about 320 different laughter options. You could do all of them at once, or you could do, you know, one or two, the chortling machine, the laugh machine. And so now, when you're watching your favorite TV shows from the past, Hogan's Heroes, Gilligan's Island, MASH, you know, those, many of those people are dead. And the reason why they had to use them was because the guy, this Douglas, Charles Douglas guy, he had a monopoly with the trademark technology. So, you know, you had to sign a contract to use the laughs. So like I said, if you sit back and you watch old TV shows with laugh tracks. And I'm singling out things like Gilligan's Island, Hogan's Heroes, because those are the shows I watched when I was a kid. And MASH, of course. You're listening to Laughs from the Dead. It's eerie to think about. And, you know, now, though, there are engineers that can come up with their own laugh tracks, and we're certainly buying the laughter in vaults, but there are still a few sitcoms that edge their sound with the dead laughter. So you have the newer laughs, and you have the dead laughs mixed in, so they have a full laugh effect. But some of those people have died, or a lot of those people have died. Most of them are dead, right? So the reason I bring this up, and it was kind of a roundabout way of getting into the topic tonight, and that is technology, we all know, has advanced. And it's advancing to the point where it's becoming common for us to just immediately, you know, tap and receive information. And we take for granted that we're tapping and receiving information, and we realize that there's some sense of entitlement to finding out things. And we also tend to think, well, if I don't see it on video, or if I don't see it or hear it or whatever on the media or in the media, it didn't happen. That's why a lot of people say, oh, it was a false flag, which is the stupid definition. It's not the definition of a false flag. I mean, or they're saying it was all faked. It was all engineered. It was all, okay. You know, just because you don't see it in the news, just because you don't see it in front of yourself, in front of you on the internet, does not mean these things don't happen. They happen. Real people are involved. It's just the media tends to exploit. But it's not just the media that it's exploiting and shaping stories and shaping ideas and attitudes about how we view things. And there are a lot of people, when you go on Facebook, you see the result of algorithms shaping attitudes and creating personalities that are just, they just shut out everything. They don't want to open up. They don't want to talk about anything. They just know that that what they're saying is the truth, a whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They will emotionally push their opinions on you to influence you. And they think they're right on the money, when in reality, they're far, far, far from the money. Far from the truth. So it takes a lot of hard work to try and decide just what is real and what isn't real when you're on the internet. And there's more of that, and we're going to talk about that coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
You just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. If you'd like to hear previous shows along with having access to our online library and social media platform, sign up now at aftermath.media. It's only $10 a month, and there's also yearly specials to fit your budget. Again, go to aftermath.media. I'm Clyde Lewis, and thank you for supporting Ground Zero.